Greetings, radio friends. We hope and trust that today will be a great day for you, a wonderful blessing from the Lord coming your way. We hope and trust that everything that the Lord gives you today will just be happiness and joy. This program is sponsored by the Church of God of Resurrection Hope, the Church of God of Abrahamic Faith, located on the Walt Arney Road in the Whitnall section of Lenore, North Carolina. If you're in the area, we invite you to come out and worship with us each Sunday. The Sunday school is 9:30, the morning worship service 10:30. The evening message is at 7 o'clock. Sometimes we forget the promises and covenants of God. Let us consider some of the covenants of God. The very first promise to man that he received from God was conditional. God said, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now many people claim that Adam ate the fruit and died spiritually that same day of man that he ate of it, but the Bible nowhere uses the terminology of spiritually death. This is a modern term which is foreign to the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible says Adam lived 930 years and he died. What God said was true, for Peter said, "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing," in 2 Peter 3:8, "One day with the Lord is 1,000 years. No man who ever lived on this earth and died ever lived a day of God or 1,000 years. Methuselah lived B 969. Adam lived 930 years, the Bible says, and he died. Now, you hear that Adam died spiritually that day and physically 930 years later. The Bible does not add this, but simply states that he lived 930 years and that he died. Now, we have no authority nor any right to change the Word of God. The first promise of God to man that he would die was fulfilled. And since that day, mankind has had to die. God promised at this time a Messiah when man had sinned, one who would bruise the head of the serpent. Now 4,000 years passed before he brought to pass the promised one. So we find that God told the man, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return." Now if God said it, we ought to believe it. We find that after 930 years, this was fulfilled for Adam. Of course, to Abel it was much sooner. We find that God told Noah, "Behold, I do bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that in the earth shall die." We find that God performed this after about 120 years. Now, when God speaks, it has to come to pass. It will happen. Then after the flood, God said to Noah, "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it will be a token of a covenant between me and the earth, and it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all the flesh that is upon the earth." Just the other day, there was a gorgeous rainbow in the clouds of the heavens, and thousands saw its splendor. After 4,000 years, God's bow still speaks as a mighty witness from God that God lives, that his promises are sure. We've come down through 2,000 years of man's history or thereabout, and we have found that when God really and truly makes a promise or a covenant, that it's impossible for it not to happen. In 1918 B.C., we find God speaking a great covenant to Abraham, and he told Abraham, "Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which thou seest of thee will I give it and to thy seed forever." Now this promise, and the extent of it, we need to do a little thinking about. Stephen the martyr was preaching his sermon in Acts 7:5. About this promise. He said, "And God gave Abraham no inheritance in this earth, no, not so much as to set his foot on, yet he promised he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him." Now you remember that this was 2,000 years almost after Abraham and God had had their conversation, and God had given the promise to Abraham. But at the time of Stephen's, God had not at that time yet fulfilled his promise. Does this mean that God will never give Abraham and his seed this land, this earth, for possession? No, my beloved. We read in Hebrews 11:13 that these all died in faith, not having received the promises. We find in the same chapter that the reason is that they without us should not be made perfect. Jesus preached in his day, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." He had specific reference to this great promise of God. In Galatians 3:16, we find that God did not make this promise to Abraham and to his seed, plural, but to his seed, as of one and to thy seed, which Paul says is Christ. We find that if we be Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We find that just as we today still have the covenant of the rainbow with us, even so the covenant that God made with Abraham is still in force, is yet to be fulfilled, but only to those who are in Christ. If ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Having tasted of these promises, God would like for you to think of the promise which God made to Mary when she conceived, Luke 1:32. Talking of Christ, he shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, if God promised that he would give to Christ the throne of his father David, he'll have it to do. Has God ever given Jesus the throne of his father David yet? Well, now we need to think it over. When did God make this promise to David, and under what stipulations? We find in 1042 B.C. that God spoke to David in 2 Samuel 7:12. He said, "When thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." Two things we need to note carefully here. God promised Mary that he would give to Christ the throne of his father David. The promise here in the original was, "Thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee," or in your presence, right in front of you. David will have the joy of seeing the kingdom established forever when it is established. He will first have to be raised from the dead. And this is the time when God will establish the kingdom, when Jesus comes and raises the dead. We are told that he already has established the kingdom, but it is to be established before David, when David can see it. And when he sees it, he will have to be living, and to be living, he will have to be raised from the dead. Now, if we misapply the time and place, we will not be informed nor understand what God has in store for the peoples of earth. David understood it perfectly. The Bible says in Acts 2, "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool." Now, that's Acts 2:30-34. If the kingdom is established before David and he is not in heaven, and he's both dead and buried, we can be sure that the kingdom has not been established yet. "He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever." Friend, is the Lord reigning over the house of Jacob today? Why, the house of Jacob doesn't even recognize him as king. The house of Jacob means household of Jacob. Everyone knows that he does not reign over the house of Jacob now. The emphasized Bible says he shall reign over the house of Jacob unto the ages. William says, "The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his forefather David." Beck says, "The throne of his ancestor David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." The claim that the Lord is reigning over the house of Jacob forever right now is false, and that he is reigning from heaven. If he's reigning over the house of Jacob now from heaven, when did the throne of David get transferred to heaven, and how can it be established before him, for he's dead? Micah 4:7, the prophet Micah declares, "And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast off a strong nation, and the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion, from henceforth even forever," not in heaven. Now, is the house of Jacob a strong nation now? And the Lord is to reign over them where? Why, in Mount Zion. Zechariah 14:4 says, "His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east." Now, if we rightly divide the word of truth, we will know that the Lord at that time, according to verse 9, will be king over all the earth when his feet stand on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, and it pleases in the middle. Isaiah 24:23 declares, At that time the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed. What takes place? Why, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem before his ancients gloriously. His ancients are the house of Jacob, and the moon is confounded and the sun ashamed when he reigns. Some people get the idea that when Jesus ascended, he said, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. And that began the kingdom then, and he began to reign then. But he specified what power he was speaking of. He said, all power. He's talking of saving power. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. Go ye therefore and disciple all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you all the days until the conclusion of the age. That's the emphasized Bible. In Hebrew, in summarizing this very thing, Paul said in chapter 8, verse 1, now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heaven, Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being come on high priest of good things to come, Hebrews 7:24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus is now in possession of all power in heaven and earth before the throne of God on the right hand of the majesty in heaven to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by him, for he is now in possession of all power as intercessor, mediator, and this will last till God sends him back to establish the kingdom of God. He'll come back to Mount Zion, and that time he will take to him his great power to reign over the house of Jacob forever. His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, and the time at that moment when the moon shall be confounded and the sun of shame will be when Jesus reigns in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem before his ancients gloriously. Now we pray, thy kingdom come. And we pray because it hasn't come yet. He will reign as king when he comes again. Now, at this moment, he is our great high priest, our mediator. He is not sitting on the throne of his father David, but he will when he returns. May God help us to understand the things that God has planned for the future. Let us pray. Father, we pray that thou would touch hearts today and cause men to realize and to understand your plan and your truth, that the kingdom that we're praying for to come is the kingdom of God, which shall be established when Jesus shall return. We are reminded of the parable of the great nobleman who went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And we pray that thy kingdom come, and thy will at that time will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. We ask to bless all hearts today that they may rightly divide the word of truth and be drawn closer to thee in Jesus Christ. Amen.